The first time Jesus Christ came, he came to be spit upon. He came to be born and laid in a manger. He came to die on an old wooden cross. But the next time he comes, he's not coming as a babe. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Gods. He is going to be crowned with a crown that rightly deserves him. He's going to sit upon the throne of David, and he's going to rule throughout eternity. Everything that has rejected him, everybody that has spurned him, everybody that has mocked him, everybody that has taken his word ever so lightly, they shall be cast into the lake of fire, and they shall have company. You say, well, if that be so bad, I'll have a lot of company in hell, but you're not going to enjoy the company in hell. Only company you're going to enjoy is if you make that final landing on the other side in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the only place you can do it is this side of eternity. Amen. I read to you this morning, this is the white throne judgment of God. There is not going to be any Christians at the white throne judgment to be judged. If there's Christians there, they will stand behind Jesus, backing him with every pronunciation of judgment that he gives upon those that have come before him. You see, the reason the Christian is not going to be there is because we have gone to court before, and we've been represented with our advocate, who is Jesus Christ, and he has made intercession for us. He has forgiven us of our sin, and we have pre-bargained with the blood of Jesus, and we have settled our case out of court. You see, amen? You see, this message isn't meant to scare you, but to inform you. Somebody says, you're trying to scare me into getting saved. I would to God I could. But this message is to inform you that someday you are going to bow. Someday you are going to give an account of yourself to the Son of God. According to Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess Jesus to be Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. It's coming. I said it's coming. I cannot divert it. I cannot change it. I cannot alter it. All I can do is be ready for the trump of God to sound and miss the white throne judgment. Are you hearing me? Amen. All death and forgiveness is found and settled this side of the grave. There is no second test. There is no purgatory. There is no coming out of hell and going to heaven. When you breathe your life breath, that's how eternity will find you. If I breathe it in rebellion, that's how eternity will find me. If I breathe it in the indifference and unconcerned, that's how eternity is going to find me. And I'm going to stand before the Lord of all the earth. This judgment is at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign. After the battle of Armageddon has been fought, while the tribulation period is going on down here, we that are saved, genuinely, let in the blood of the Son of the living God. I didn't say those that used to be. I didn't say those that made a commitment 6 years ago. I'm talking about those that are ready from the cup of God Almighty's Son, God that He's going to lose in hope. They're going to rise. That means Jesus in the air. Those that have died in Christ are going to rise to meet Jesus in the air. We're going to step down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and Jesus is going to exert Himself, and He's going to serve us, and He's going to pass out the rewards after the saints of God that have been faithful, that have lived righteous, that have done His will, done His bidding. He's going to say to each one of them, well done, well done, well done, well done, that the white throne judgment is coming for all Christ's rejectors. It's coming for all those that live loose. It's coming for those that live indifferent. There's going to be a lot of church people at the white throne judgment. So what have I got to do? Brother, I've got to be saved. Trust Jesus and then live for Him. These quickie getting saved, believing and never going back to church, you ain't saved. You got saved, you want to be in His presence. You got saved, you want to assemble together with God's people. If you get right with God, you change your life. You quit running with the crowds you've been running with. And you start running with the Holy Ghost crowd. You start running with the saints of God crowd. Amen, hear me? You see, this is the sinners, the Christ rejectors, the God haters. You said, well, brother, I'm not a Christian, but I don't hate God. Jesus said, He that's not with me is against me. And if you're against it, you're a God hater. Hello? This is for the God denying. This is for them atheistic theologians. This is for the New Age movement. Everything's going to get better, 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 and it's going to get the good, and God's just going to come in. Only thing they've got to do is get rid of the disease crowd first. We're the disease crowd, and I want you to know how the disease crowd is going to get out of here. I promise you that. Amen. This is the despisers of God. The last sunset, last time they will ever see daylight before they enter into eternity without God. First, they get out of hell so that they can be judged. Let me tell you folks something, if you realize it or not. There's a lot of church members that are in hell today. And they don't know why they're there. Because the preacher, they went, all you got to do is go to church. You can still sin a little bit every day, and it's all right. I want you to know, you better find your solid rock, and you better begin to stand on it. He said, come out from among them, and be a serpent. That's not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be your God, then you'll be my son. You better find your solid rock. I'm not talking to these, to those that are really saved. I'm talking to those that are putting on a front, acting like they're saved, thinking they're saved. I want you to know if you're not really living for God, you're not really saved. Are you listening to me? Amen. You see, the Christian's not here. Now, I'm not talking about religious people, but people who now. See, we've got some that have left the church. And if you ask them, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. But they don't live for God. They don't come to church. They're not serving God. They're not being faithful to God's cause. They will be like me, coming in on Sunday morning and hollering, oh, I love you, honey. Oh, I love you, I love you. And she didn't see me no more the next Sunday morning. I'm the biggest liar that ever lived. But yet we treat Christ that way. Hello! Somebody say, praise the Lord. Second, this judgment is for the wicked dead. When I say wicked dead, I'm talking about those you don't have to do anything to go to hell. I've never drank, I've never smoked, I've never took pot, I've never beat my wife, I've never committed adultery, I've worked hard all my life, I've done everything good, I don't curse, I don't do anything wrong, but the only thing you got to do to go to hell is to just leave Jesus out of your life. Don't accept the Lord and you'll go to hell automatically. You'll automatically go to hell. Amen. You see, in this judgment book, and hell is represented. That means those that have died. In other words, I come and signed the church book. I took a card. I become a member. I've been dunked in water. But I never took any problem to live for God. Am I talking to the right church this morning? I never done anything to live for God. I spasmodically hit church. I spasmodically supported the church. I spasmodically sang. I spasmodically prayed. I spasmodically done everything. And I'm in hell, and I want to know why. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. A lot of church members in hell. You listen to me, saints of God? Listen to me, sinner friend? By death, we mean those that have already died. By hell, we understand that that's the place where the souls of the wicked dead remain until the resurrection of the wicked. Hear me. Those that have died outside of God are in hell this morning suffering. They're in hell right now. They're not going to be in hell when the white throne judgment is over. They're in hell right now. They're in judgment right now. And they're just going to get out of hell one time to be thrown back into hell again. Because their name is not written, not on the church roll. I don't care what denomination you are. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what color we are. I don't care how many churches we join. He don't care if I'm a Baptist, a Methodist, a Pentecostal, an independent, a sinner's of God. He doesn't care what I am. He cares who I am. What I've done! What I've done! What I've done with Him! Not what have I done with the church! What have I done with what He's done for me on Calvary? Have I received it? Have I rejected it? Have I lived for Him? Or have I played church with Him? You see, you ask why would sinners get out of hell? First, they're not going to rise to see if they're going to get eternity with God. They chose their way while they was here. You see, Catholicism, and God help you, may be a Catholic. I'm not throwing any slurs. But it means that if you give the priest so much, I want you to know there is no such thing as purgatory. You pass from this life to that one or that one, and there's no in between. If you pass to that one, God doesn't call you up to give you a second chance. Somebody said, well, He preached to them that were in prison in hell. Yes, sir, He sure did. You know who He preached to? He didn't preach to that antediluvian crowd. He didn't preach to that Sodom and Gomorrah crowd. He went to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to David, and He said, who are you folks looking for? And they said, we're looking for the Messiah that's to come. And Jesus said, I am He. I'm the one you believed on. I'm the one that you trusted in. I'm the one that you placed your faith in. And I'm going to open the prison door. I'm going to let you out. And it says He led captivity captive and gave you unto me. And He preached to them not that had rejected Him on earth. He preached to them that died in faith, believing he's going to come. Hallelujah! And he's coming again for them who believe he's going to come. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hear me. Third, they are going to be judged to what degree of punishment. You see, not everybody's going to be punished the same, and not everybody's going to be rewarded the same. You that have just sat on your pew, you've loved the Lord, you've come to church, and you've honestly taken him as Lord, but you just sat there like a wart on a pickle. You're going to get very little reward. You say, my God, just getting saved to be being saved, walking on the streets of heaven to be glorious. How ashamed I will be to stand before him with no sheaves to lay at his feet. What have you done for me, Tom? Oh, my God, I didn't do anything, but here I am. How ashamed. But you're going to rise. Those that die without God, those that have been wicked, those that have been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity and have rejected every one of them, are going to be beaten with many stripes. Are going to be punished severely. You say, can you prove that? I can. Luke chapter 12, verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Hello? What? No one will receive a death sentence. Nobody at the white throne judgment is going to receive a death sentence. You're going to receive a life sentence. You're not going to die. You're never going to die. You're never going to die. Look at somebody and say, you're never going to die. Whether you're on your way to heaven or hell, you're never going to die. In fact, when you pass from this life, you will be more alive in the next life than you are in this life. Hearing me? Look at who's going to be at this judgment, the white throne judgment. What a scene that's going to be. Phantom in your mind if you can. Here is a crowd that can't be numbered. I heard last night America has 263 million people in it. And at the Battle of Armageddon, there's going to be 200 million that's going to march against Jerusalem. Can you pass from all of the people of the United States of America standing before the God of all the earth? And that's just a scratch. Everybody from Adam's time until the time after the Battle of Armageddon and the White Throne Judgment, everybody that's denying God is going to spot a scene. What a scene it's going to be when he steps upon the throne and he up against the open the book and begins to judge out of all things that are written in the book. You see, God keeps a perfect record. A perfect record. He knows what a hypocrite I am. He knows. Well, we get on it. There's going to be kings. There's going to be all the wicked antediluvian people. And they say at that time there were 36 million. In the land that they all died without God. The inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, millions of homosexuals. Now you can say it's all right, we're in the 90s and God okays changes of lifestyle, but God has not changed his word. He's not altered it. He's not deterred it. Homosexuals are lost without God. But I've got good news. You can be saved and you can be delivered and the yoke can be broken off of your neck this morning. Amen. It can be broken. It can be broken. There's going to be Pharaoh, Ahab, Jezebel, Judas. My God, that'd be enough to make me want to run and give my heart to God. I don't want to stand there with somebody like Judas. Nobody names a boy Judas. They don't even name the dog Judas. Judas is a name that everybody stays away from. I don't want to be judged with somebody named Judas. Are you listening to me? There's going to be the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests who caused Christ to be crucified and did not repent. There's going to be Ananias and Sapphira, those that lie about the tithe. Am I talking to the right crowd? Now, you say, Brother Arden, that don't bother me. Now to where you and I live. Who's going to stand there? Here comes the crowd of liars. Thank you for helping me this morning. These are the ones that thought there was nothing wrong with a little white lie. Nothing wrong with cheating just a little bit to get ahead. I can lie in business and it just nobody knows. I can tell things that aren't true. Nobody knows. But there is an all-seeing eye that's running to and fro throughout the earth, seeking that which is perfect in His behalf. There is no such thing as an off-white lie. There is no such thing as a gray lie. You're either lying or you're telling the truth. And when you exaggerate a thing, you're lying. You say, well, that don't make me a liar. One lie will lead to another lie, and that makes you a liar. Truth sets you free. Thank you. That's a young convert saying that to me. But all liars. All liars. Revelation 21:8. All liars. Can I expand a little bit I'm going through anyway? Those that reach in their pocket and pull out $10 and act like that's your tithe, you're lying. Boy, did I ever get my plow hung. You pay your tithe once a month, you cheat God. You say, when you hand it in, you're saying, this is all a maiden. They asked Ananias, is that all? That's all. That's all. What did God do to them? They were liars. All liars. Don't have to be a big liar. I'm just be a little liar. Little liar. Doesn't hurt a thing. Truth will cause problems. But when you know the truth, you can really be free. I can't be free if I live a lie. If I act out a lie, I can't. And when I come to church, holler hallelujah, walk outside and talk about my brother and my sister, I'm a liar, I'm a hypocrite, I've acted out a lie, and I'm going to stand before God, I'm going to give an account of myself to God! You say, Brother Martin, that's tough, that's hard. Don't listen to me. I am a dying man. And if it were not for the mercy of God, I'd have died in 1972. But God was merciful. Were it not for God, I'd have died 77 when I had the massive heart attack. But God was merciful. And if they hadn't put a machine on me June the 28th of last year to keep me alive, I'd be dead today. So I know I'm dying. I'm dying. And I'm preaching to a crowd of dying people. And I want you to know that when we stand before God, and I want you to shake your finger if I'm standing behind the lights on judgment, and that's exactly where I intend to stand. I'm not going to stand in front of it. I've made my mind up. Hell, high water, I'm God, she's so swift. I started out for God, and I'm going to go all the way with God Almighty. I don't want you to stand at the white throne judgment and say, Tom, I'm just, if you'd have been a little more frank, would have been a little more honest, I wouldn't be here. I'm telling you this morning, I wash my hands of your blood. I'm telling you that all lies, all little lies, all big lies, all hypocrites, all hope, they're going to all stand before the Lord of all the earth, and the Lord is going to say, hard, 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 hard. Is it my God? Think of how hard you are. Tell us God loves you. I'm telling you, God does love you. That's why he sent me this morning. That's why he gave me this message this morning. Because he loves you and he wants to turn you around. Let me ask you a question. How long should God suffer us to kick his son in the teeth? How long should God allow us to trample underfoot the blood of his son, Jesus Christ? No judgment. God's just too good to send anybody to hell, and I agree with you. God has never sent anybody to hell, and God never will send anybody to hell. I go to hell because I choose to not live right. I choose to not do right. I choose to not act right. I choose to not talk right. I choose my own destiny. I'm a free moral agent. You are a free moral agent. You choose your eternal destiny. Heaven or hell, nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. And I've told you before, I don't get any joy. I'm preaching messages like this. Here come the whoremongers. Now these people that are coming, they're not really what I'm calling them. I just wanted to visualize it for you. Here come those that jump from bed to bed. Here come those that say it's not wrong to have premarital or extramarital sex. Are you listening to me? You're preaching to us, preacher. We don't do that. We have people that sit in our congregations that live together. Not married. You know, Brother Ogden, man, I'm just passing through life one time and I want to have a little fun. And if you're considering contaminating your body, maybe with AIDS and everything else, then I guess you are having fun. I don't know. But here come the whoremongers. Here come those that have ignored God's command. One woman, one man, till death do we part. Go stand before God. And I promise you they're going to say, but, Lord! Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord to the glory of the Father. They're going to say, but Lord, I didn't do anything bad. It isn't bad people that go to hell only. It's good people that go to hell. They're going to stand before God. I'm the Lord of all the earth. And he's going to say, you listening to me? You that are thinking about having sex outside the marriage, you better pray through this morning. You young people that are thinking there ain't no whole lot wrong with sex, you better pray through this morning. Here comes another crowd. This is the idolaters. Here comes the idolaters. Here come those that worship their car, their boat, their home. Their work. Anything, whether it be the Super Bowl. And I've never understood this. I've been here nearly 6 years. I've been through five Super Bowls. And church is dismissed on Sunday night for the Super Bowl. Let me forewarn you, it'll be a cold day in hell when Tom Ogden dismisses for anything. I will not dismiss for nothing. and give you a chance to frolic around with sin. Anything that you stay home to watch the Super Bowl, or there's a special program on TV you want to watch, that's your God. Well, it's only one day a week, all I got, and I got to stay home, and I got to clean my garden, I got to cut my grass, I got to call me if you can't get to it, and I'll help you. That's God's truth, I will. I'll load up my tractor and I'll come help you. If that's going to keep you out of church, I don't want you to go to hell for a yard. You need to polish your old stupid car. You're going to do it on Sunday. Call me and we'll polish it Saturday night if we have to. We worship the Almighty Dollar. We worship things. The people that fill your credit card out and check how much you owe. It wasn't because you couldn't do without it. It's because it meant more to you than the next 36 months of payment. It's a job to you. Things are a job to us. We allow things to keep us out of church. We allow things to keep us from worshiping God. We allow things to keep us from coming down to the altar. We allow somebody sitting next to us to keep us coming to the altar because we don't want to embarrass ourselves and then get nothing out there like we are religious or a fanatic or nothing. I want you to know you can sit there if you want to, but I'm going to hit the altar. I'm going to hit my knee. I'm going to call on God because God is the only hope and the only answer, but I'm not. But all idolaters, you can worship your companion. You can worship your children. Are you listening to me, folks? You don't stand before God and say, well, God, I'm pretty good boy. I'm pretty good girl. Really? I'm pretty good. I went to church when I could. God demands you make a place for Him. God will not share you with your job, with your companion, with your bank account. God will not share you with nobody. Here, I'm a jealous God. You've got to come out to me. You've got to stand before Him. Not bad people. Not really bad people. Good people. Judge of all the earth is going to save. Here comes all the sorcerers. Here's all your astrologers. Here's all of your horoscope writers. Here are all those that are called the astrologers. You know, it don't make sense to me why you call a stupid individual to tell you what the future holds when I'm telling you exactly what the future holds this morning. I'm telling you what the future holds this morning. Not only is astrology called future to him, but it's God. It's chemical independence. So all drug abusers, prescription, you're hooked on Valium, you're a sorcerer. You've got to. Oh boy, we're getting home now. If you're hooked on a pill to get up and a pill to go to bed, you're a sorcerer. You're a drug abuser. If you're hooked on something you can't get rid of and can't live without, you're a sorcerer. How many is this too straight for? Thank God. How many still with me? Anything that holds you in bondage. Because in the Greek, sorcery means drug. And it don't just mean cocaine. It means prescription drugs. And we've got saints of God that are hooked on prescription drugs. Can't live without a volume, my nerves. come to the north. Love your people.
Just abuse Jarvis there. And he said, drugs, even though the prescription.
Take drugs to be a
He's going to say, here come the leader. Oh, yeah. Used to be on fire for God. I went back, and when they got a new pastor, put people, trailer house.